this morning I want to talk to you about, the title of the sermon is going to be, Are Your Words Seasoned? Are your words seasoned? Let me ask you something. Have you ever eaten anything that didn't have seasoning on it? That's just nasty, isn't it? I mean, one time I went to my mom and dad's house, and dad had a heart attack, so they put him on, like, no salt stuff. They didn't share with me that they bought no salt peanut butter. And I went and made me a big old peanut butter sandwich, and I chomped down on that first bite, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. This is just, no, this is wrong. Where is the salt, you know? And they're like, oh, well, your dad is, you know, on this low salt thing. I'm like, great. Warn me the next time. But what about mashed potatoes? Have you ever had mashed potatoes with no butter, no salt, no pepper? It's just not even American, is it? It's just something wrong with that picture. Our words, your words, our words need to be seasoned with love and encouragement, cheerfulness, and joy. You might think, well, Pastor, at least I'm not cussing anymore. Well, yay. Christians don't need to be cussing. Can I hear an amen on that? Christians don't need to be cussing. Yes. I'm glad that you stopped cussing. But we need to replace those words with something good, like the confession of our faith and encouragement to others. Did you know that your words will either make you a victor or they'll keep you captive? The Bible says, Proverbs 6:2, you are ensnared by the words of your mouth. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Your words can be filled with faith that stirs heaven and blesses others around you, or your words can be filled with hate and despair. Your words can actually move and stir heaven. Can you imagine? Can you think about that? When you get with your friends and instead of pounding on somebody and saying, well, did you hear what they did this week? Oh, my goodness, girl, did you see that dress? Those shoes. And all that kind of stuff. Doing that kind of stuff, that just brings, and do you know that God listens to every conversation? I had a friend to call me this week, and we've been friends for a long time. And at her church, she said, I'm going to tell you something happened. I want to thank you for being the church you are. Just let me tell you again how much I love you. I really appreciate you so much. But she said that the praise team was getting ready to go up and, you know, do the worship. And it was on a Wednesday night. And she said that that a woman came to one of the praise team, and right before this praise team person gets ready to go up on the platform, she says something to the effect of, oh, I just wanted you to know that so-and-so here, they've been talking about you and looking at your own Facebook, and they've been saying this about you and that about you. You know what happened with just those words? It stopped the flow in the church that night because she had to do her little thing. I remember a church that Pastor and I used to pastor, and they would do that junk, they would drop little bombs on you right before you got ready to get in the pulpit. And I told them, well, I got in a meeting with them one time. I'm going to say I did it with love, but you know, I don't want to lie. But anyway, I told her husband, and that whole group of people, I said, don't you ever come to me or my husband or any of our praise people before we get ready to minister and drop your little bombs. Don't you ever do that to me again. Because when you do that with your little words, you may think, well, I just thought you might need to know. I just felt in my heart that you needed to know that. Oh, clam up. That's just a bunch of junk, you know. When my friend told me that, I'm telling you that something rose up in me, and I'm like, oh, you better be glad. And I think I shared with my friend, like, my church, thank God they don't do that kind of stuff. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you. You're a good church, and I love you. But words, the words of that woman just that quick brought a whatever into that whole service. It just shut down. The pastor had a hard time preaching that night, and the musicians had the whole thing was shut down because of her words. And I'm telling you, you may think, well, you know, I just wanted to share. Think about it before you share. run your words through the filter of your brain at least once or twice. You know coffee filters? Why do you have coffee filters? So that you can to keep those beans and stuff out so the coffee will taste good. And you run, if you run your coffee through a filter, then we need to run our words through the filter of God's word. Think about it one more time, because once those words are out, they're out forever. You can't get them back. Your faith will never register above the words of your mouth. Have you ever been around someone for, I've done this, have you ever been around somebody for just a little while and they're very negative and they're very complaining and they're criticizing other people and they're talking doubt and unbelief and failure? How do you feel when you walk away from that kind of person? You feel slime, don't you? You do. You feel like you've just been slimed and almost kind of depressed. I've been around people like that, and when I walk away, I'm like, I need to go to Walmart or something, shake this off, you know, because it's, I got to go somewhere. McDonald's, give me something, give me a steak, anything, but I got to go somewhere and shake off this mess that they just dumped all over me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And if their words can affect you that much, how much more will your words affect you? Isn't that right? If their words can affect you to the point where you got to shake it off, how much more will your words affect what you are doing and how you live? When you start saying all this stuff about, I can't, I'm not strong enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not this, stop it. Don't talk like that. You might think, well, Pastor, what am I supposed to talk about then? Well, let me tell you what you can talk about. Talk about the goodness of the Lord. Talk about how big God is. Talk about the word of God and how that is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 13:5-6. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and it has gotten me through this year that Pastor has been gone. And even just yesterday, I'm speaking this word. And that word is this, Hebrews 13:5-6. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say. Now, is that, if you say something boldly, is that like, that's so good. Is that bold? I don't know what that is. Boldly is when, like what he did this morning. Hey, when you step out and you say, this is what happened. This is what I believe. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. God's word says this, and I'm believing for this. And he says here that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Oh, we need to start bolding up some. We need to start boldly talking. What else can we boldly say? How about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph in Christ. We can boldly say, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves me. How about Romans 8:1? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We can boldly declare, I have no condemnation because I am in Christ Jesus. He's forgiven me. It's under the blood. Everything I've ever done, when I confess my sins before God, he covers it in the blood. It's over. And if you bring it to him, he's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. When you come back to him a year later and you say, God, you remember that thing I did before I got saved? You remember that thing I did last week? And even though you've repented and you've confessed it, and through tears you knelt down and you repented and you said, God, I messed up. Oh, God, unless you help me, God, I'm going to do it again. Please help me. But I confess this thing to you, God. It was wrong, and I repent, and I ask you to cleanse it from me. Now, right then, it's gone. It's gone. And so you come back the next day because Satan's beating you over the head with it. And he said, did you think it was that easy to get forgiven? What you did was bad. What you did was wrong. You can't be forgiven that easy. So you go back to God. You say, I'm sorry. You remember that thing, God? I'm sorry. And he goes, Don't see it. It's gone. He has forgiven you. You're cleansed. It's over. And so, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I used to go for a long time sometimes, beating myself up for a long, long time about sins that I had already repented over. And God had to get it through my head. It's forgiven, Sandy. It's over. It's forgiven. And then you know what we should do about that? Rejoice. Woo! If God don't think about it, then I don't need to think about it. And devil, you shut your fat face right there. You just shut up. Dog face. So he's forgiven you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. And he said he would forgive all your sins. So let me say this to you this morning. Quit rehearsing the past. Quit rehearsing the failures from the past. You know what you did, and Satan knows what you did, and God knows what you did, and God says, I've forgiven you of it, and you don't need to be reminding Satan of it. Because he'll just use it to beat you up with it. So quit rehearsing the past. You know what you should be rehearsing? Victories. Victories. You say, you know what, I remember that time that I was almost in that car wreck. I mean, I came this close, and, you know, just in the nick of time, God stopped that car. Just in the nick of time. Oh, and I remember that time that my son was on drugs and alcohol, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and it looked hopeless. But all of a sudden, God Almighty walked into his room and saved my son. Oh, yes, I think I remember that victory. Oh, and I remember that time that I was under a depression so strong that I couldn't hardly see the light of day. But all of a sudden, God spoke to me and told me, stand on my word. And I stood on his word, and his word brought me out. Yeah, those are the things we need to rehearse. Forgetting those things which are behind. Press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Did you know that according to Romans 12 and 3, that you've been given a measure of faith? Don't ever walk around and say, I don't have enough faith. I don't have any faith. If you're saying that, if you say it to me, I will tell you to get saved. Because if you had to have faith to get saved. So don't say, I don't know if people think that sounds humble, but it's stupid. So don't say that no more. If you're a Christian, you've got faith. Because the Bible says right here, I can prove it. I'll show you. We'll just do a slam down right here. Romans 12, 3. You have been given a measure of faith. Well, what kind of faith would God give to you? Would it be the kind of faith to barely get by faith? Is that the kind of faith God gives to you? Is it, I don't know how I'm going to make it kind of faith? What kind of faith would God give to you, his child? Tell me. Mountain moving faith. Just what we sang about this morning. God will give you a portion of mountain moving faith to where you say, move in the name of Jesus. Mountain of debt. I tell you in the name of Jesus, move. And it's got to start moving. It's got to. It has to. Because you're saying it in the name of Jesus and you're using his word. I believe he's given us a portion of mountain moving faith. That's the same kind of faith that spoke the worlds into existence. That's the same kind of faith that spoke and the moon and the stars came into place. Mountain moving faith. You should look in the mirror every chance you get and say, I have a measure of mountain-moving faith in my life. Instead of looking in the mirror and saying, you're old, you're ugly, you've got gray hair, oh my goodness, look at the wrinkles. Stop. Don't do that. That's not glorifying nobody. You look in that mirror and you say, and I say this to you teenagers too, to everyone, I dare you, I double dog dare you in the morning to look in the mirror and say, you have a measure of mountain moving faith. It'll mess you up. And you got to start where you are. If your faith level isn't grown enough yet for you to believe for $10, then believe for $5. Right? It's just that simple. If your faith level isn't to the place where you can believe for a cake, then believe for a cupcake. If your faith level isn't grown enough for you to believe for your headache to be healed, to start with a wart. There is nothing wrong with wart faith. Wart faith. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. I've seen God remove warts, clusters of warts. That's where my faith level started, with warts on Melody's knee. And it was she had clusters of great big warts on her little knee. She was only like, oh my, like maybe 9 or 10 years old. And short season was coming out. It was getting to be summer. She said, Mom, you know, these things are ugly. They embarrass me. And so we prayed, and we told it to go, or we believed for it to go. And I know I've shared this, but we were in, probably about a week or so later, we were in the store, and she said, she had on pants, and she said, oh, Mom, all my warts are gone but one. Just real casual like that, you know. And I said, what? I said, pull up your pant leg and let me see. And she pulled up her pant leg. She's like, oh, you know. And she pulled up her pant leg in the store, and it was one little wart left, and it was on its way out. There is no warts on her knees today. That it started off with wart faith, and then you move up to something else. Don't think that you've got to start off with some great big something. Start where you are. If you need to start with quarters and nickels, start there. And then believe for a dollar. But start somewhere believing. What you confess is the key to your faith. Did you know that your faith can grow? How does it grow? By feeding it on God's word every day and exercising it. 2 Thessalonians 1:3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Your faith can grow every day. How's it going to grow? It's going to grow by you getting into the Word of God and feeding your faith, not your face, feeding your faith every day by the Word of God. When you get into the Word of God, you may say, well, I don't understand any of this. I don't understand them begats. I don't understand all that stuff. It don't matter. Get in there. And just, anybody read a chapter a day this week? All right, you are going to grow. I'm telling you right now, you are probably already growing. Read it out loud, and you just get into the Word, and you just start reading it out loud. Just start with one chapter a day, you know. And well, here's one of my favorites, Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Woo! And then, you know, I got to read 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. When do you believe that you receive them? When you pray. It's like Tommy was saying this morning, I don't understand people. I got to tell you, I don't understand people who get down and pray this big elaborate prayer and didn't believe a word they said. You could have went somewhere. You could have went to McDonald's during that time. I'm telling you. You know, you could have watched a show. You could have done any number of things. But you got down and prayed some big unbelieving prayer. It would be better for you to pray a short prayer of faith then try to impress God with some big, long, unbelieving prayer. You could get down and say, help, help, I need help. He hears you. He hears that prayer. Oh, yeah, he hears that. I was on a train track one time with a train coming. I was pregnant. I was pregnant with Troy, 4 months pregnant. I was getting ready to go across the track, and all of a sudden the thing came down on the top of my car, and there was a big, long line of tracks in front of me. And there was cars lined up on the other side, and I think it was an Amtrak or it was a fast coming train. It was big, and I couldn't go forward and I couldn't go backward because the cars were lined up right to the edge of the track. And I remember I jumped out and I just started going, you know, move, get out. You know, let me just tell you something. That day there wasn't nothing fluffy about me. When I get out, I'm pregnant, my mother's with me, and a train was coming down the track, and I knew I had only seconds to get out of his way because I didn't know which track he was coming down. And let me just tell you something. I didn't get out of that car and go, if you don't mind, could you please back up just a little bit? I would just appreciate it so much. No, I got out like a wild maniac woman saying, move, get out, move, get back up. And they did. They backed up, and I pulled back just as the train came by. That's how we need to be about our faith. That's how we need to be about worship. We need to quit that stuff of, oh, well, you know, I'm just so delicate. You're not delicate. I know you people. Hey, no delicate people in here. We need to come in here, be real, and worship him and praise him for who he is. Romans, nowhere does the Bible teach that if you just believe in your heart, you'll get an answer to your prayer. It teaches that if you believe with your heart and say it with your mouth, you shall have whatever you say. Romans 10 and 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Notice the word of faith must be in your mouth as well as in your heart. You got to say it. That's how you're going to release your faith, is when you say it. Let me just equate it to being in love. Okay. You can be in love with somebody and just like, oh, you know, they come in the room and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know. And even your husband or wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you really love that person. But how are they going to know if you don't ever tell them? If you don't ever confess to them, you know, chick, I am just wild about you. I love you. That's all there is to that. You know, girls will like it. Just trust me. You just tell them straight up, hey, I love you. You're the prettiest thing in the world. And there, that's all I'm saying about that. And I love you. So you know what? That's your confession of love. But if you just walk around all the time and just, you know, talk about being in love, but you never tell her, there's something wrong there. I remember when there was times when I would be in a store or something, and I would be on one schedule, and Jim would be on another schedule. And I would be in the store, and I'd look up, and Jim would come walking into the room. And my heart would speed up. I would literally start pitter-patting, you know, just to see him walk into the room. And I would tell him that. You know, I'd say, when you walked in the room, my heart, he was like, oh, brother. But he liked it. Same thing. Your faith grows with your confession, just like love. And there are times, let me just say this. You will never be a conqueror or overcomer until you confess that you are one. If you want to be an overcomer or a conqueror, you have to say it before you ever see it. If you wait to become a conqueror before you believe you are one, you're mistaken. You have to confess it first to become one. If you're waiting and you're saying, one of these days I'm going to be an overcomer. Yeah, buddy. One of these days I'm going to be a conqueror. And one of these days, quit doing that one of these days thing. You put it out now. You call those things that be not as though they were. You say, I am a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I can overcome anything. I can overcome cigarettes. I can overcome drinking. I can overcome sex outside of my marriage. I can overcome these things because the greater one is inside of me. And I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Don't say, I just am having a hard time. I just can't do it. Yes, you can. And if you need for somebody to come in agreement with you, that's fine. You get prayer. You get somebody to come in agreement with you. But you are an overcomer. Start acting like it. Start talking like it. Start moving like it. How would you act if you were an overcomer? How would you, you wouldn't walk around like this, you know, like, I'm just barely getting by. No, you would just kind of do that strut. You know, and you strut your stuff. It's the same thing. If you're carrying $5 in your pocket, you don't get real crazy about it. You know, you don't like, here's $5. I hope nobody saw that. Oh, my goodness. I hope nobody takes my $5 from me. Oh, my goodness. Are you still there, $5? Oh, thank Lord. Oh, thank goodness. Now, no, you'd be like, whatever. If I lose $5, I'd hate it, but oh well. You know, I will keep right on going. Here's the Hope Diamond, okay? Now you've got the Hope Diamond. Now you're going to walk a little differently. You're going to be like, be because you have something valuable now, right? Very, very valuable. And let me just tell you, the greater one, God Jehovah, where does he make his home at? Inside of your temple. Oh, you are so valuable, not because of who you are, but because of who's inside of you. That's why you're so valuable. And I'm going to close with this. I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again. And that is, the Bible says you are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and through what? The word of your testimony. And I shared this with some people in the altar last week. And that is, the blood of the Lamb is covered. That's done. Jesus did his job, and Satan can't touch it. He can't get his hands on that because Jesus has done his job. He did a great job, and through the blood of the Lamb, he's done it. But he is after your testimony. What is your testimony? What are your words that you're saying? If you're walking around saying, I just can't, I'm not much, I'm defeated, I'm in lack, and all of this kind of stuff, that is not a testimony. That's just a mess. That's all that is. But when you say, I don't have the money right now, but I believe God can supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I caught myself saying something the other day. If my foot would have been long enough, I'd have kicked myself. I started to say, I can't afford it. I started to say that. And I'm like, what? I'm not going to say that because I may not be able to afford it right then. But like I said, who's my daddy? Who's my God? He's only created the diamond mines and the gold mines. You think he couldn't get it to me? Why would I disgrace him by walking around all the time saying, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. Find another way to say that, but quit saying that. You just say, I'm on pause right now. I'll get it later. I'm believing right now, and I believe God's going to supply my needs. But quit saying that, oh, I just can't afford it. I just can't afford it. You think you're sounding humble? It's not. So let me finish by saying, watch your words. Make sure that your words are seasoned. Seasoned with faith. Seasoned with love. Seasoned. Why is it that we can talk to total strangers and be nice to them, but when you're one of your family members goes into the kitchen you say to, you're sitting on the couch, or you go into the kitchen. Let's put it like this. Let's make it personal. You go in the kitchen, and they holler in and say, hey, could you bring me back an ice cream? And you say, your leg's broken? Now, you wouldn't say that to a stranger. You wouldn't. You would be like, oh, yes, just a minute. Let me see if we've got one. But you'll say to the very people that you love the most, is your legs broken? Get up and get it yourself. Let us season our words with love, faith, encouragement, blessings. Everybody stand. You would bow your heads. No moving around right now. I just wonder this morning if there's anyone here. I'm telling you, you are in the right place today. You are so in the right place. It is not a mistake that you're here. God knew you was going to be here. And I've got good news for you, that Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you and give you eternal life. You can be as sure for heaven today as if you were already there. And we would love to pray for you and with you. Today could be the best day of the rest of your life, because this one I've been talking about, Jesus, he is the greater one. He's the greater one. And he wants to come and live inside of you and give you new life, abundant life. And all you have to do is say yes, yes, yes. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. And he's saying, will you open the door and let me come in? Will you open the door? I'll come in and I will bless your life. And when you go through the hard times, I'll be right there with you. Is there anybody this morning that you would like to raise your hand this morning and say, I need that, Pastor. I need for you to pray for me. I want to meet Jesus this morning. I want to meet this one called Jesus. I want to ask him into my heart and life. And let me just tell you, you have not committed a sin so bad that you cannot be forgiven. I don't care what Satan has been telling you. You have not committed a sin so bad that God would not forgive you. He loves you, and it's not a mistake you're here. He knew you were going to be here this morning. And I just want everyone to be real still right now, be real reverent. This is God's time. Anybody would like to raise your hand and say, I would like to know Jesus as my Savior, just raise your hand. I'd be glad to pray for you. God is good. He is so good. There's nothing he can't do. Is anybody here, you need special prayer this morning for any reason, for your health, for a problem you're going through? This is for anyone here. Does anybody need special prayer for any reason at all this morning? Yes, come on up. Anyone else? You need special prayer this morning? This church here, we believe in prayer. We believe in coming together and coming into agreement. We believe in miracles. We believe that Jesus is still the healer. He's still got all the answers. Anybody else you'd like prayer this morning? Okay, I need some prayer warriors with me.